The following programming is sponsored by D&D Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Files Law Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. We are on location up at Naked Brewing Company in Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
A fantastic festive holiday celebration and a very unique party. It's great to be here. Caitlin Files, our host. First off, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
I could not be better. Having said that, if you would, we have two great guests we're going to start off with. But before we introduce our guests, remind our listeners, first of all, a little bit about yourself and the firm, and then talk about what we got going on here.
Sure. So we are a workers' compensation firm located in Levittown, Pennsylvania, which is right across from Bristol Borough. We are primarily focused in workers' compensation. We dabble in Social Security disability. And we are going to be hitting 5 years open in June.
Congratulations.
All right. Coming up.
That's fantastic.
But over the course of being open, I've met so many fabulous women in the legal field, in just business, in all various sectors. And I wanted to get them all together because I talk about them to each other. So I wanted them all to get some time on the radio show and to also meet each other so they could start putting names to faces and faces to names.
Fantastic. And it's a great networking event with great professionals. We've all had the pleasure of having everybody on the program. I'm going to go from far to near, bring in Terry Nakisha Hodge, who is with North American Medical Associates. Hello, Terry. How are you?
Hello, Dolly. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
We started with a fun personality.
So I'm fortunate enough because nobody's a stranger to this broadcast. It's great to be back together on
yes.
the air.
Yes, yes.
Remind our listeners, if you would, a little bit about yourself, what you do at NAMA, and what North American Medical Associates is all about.
Sure. So North American Medical Associates, we are interventional spine and pain medical practice. And I am the marketing director there. I'm so fortunate to be sitting at this table with these lovely women who I've known for quite a long time. And, you know, not too long because we're all young. And
young. If I had my facility, if I was still in the bar business, you'd all be getting carded. So that's just for the record.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
That's what we like to hear.
That's a fact. So.
Yeah. So I'm so happy to be here with you, too. I haven't seen you in such a long time. And you look great.
Well, I'm working and my wife's got me on some insane carnivore diet, which, by the way, I don't think yogurt and a couple other things that are on it. But I'm doing the best I can, so I appreciate it. Great to have you back on the broadcast.
Aerie approves.
So speaking of Aerie, now we talked about Prince and having only one name, but we're gonna let the cat
this
out of the bag.
Little red Corvette over
yeah.
here.
Artist formal.
Aerie are known. How are you?
The Aerie are known.
The Aerie are known. How does that? Okay, so is that actually, is there a symbol there? Or?
There will be.
There will be. That's a trademark. First of all, welcome back to the broadcast. You've been on a number of times. This is a really festive time of year, okay? And we're talking about a networking event and a holiday event that really puts together a network of women in this industry, okay, which is a very competitive industry. Okay, mm-hmm. First of all, around the table, what does it mean to have a group of women? Real, and we're going to introduce everybody. We're going to have other attorneys on and all that. But this type of network, what does it mean to have leaders of an industry that are all women and doing incredible things? Ari, I'll go to you first.
So to me, it means that there is a different perspective brought to the table. And I think that that's kind of what, you know, makes this world great is the different cultures that we have, as well as the different, you know, sexes and what they bring to the table in the business arena.
And I can tell you this, having said that, Terry, you are the networking queen. You are at the forefront. But it's cool to be around a group of individuals that are succeeding, okay?
Absolutely.
And typically this is an incredibly competitive market. I've had the pleasure of doing broadcasts with everybody in the room. Talk about, this is an important, you know, very festive time of year. Okay, but in your industry, you're dealing with people who are injured. Okay,
sure.
and who are going for rehabilitation. So although we're very fortunate, talk about the compassion that you need to have, because it can be a painful time a year for a lot of the clients that come in your offices.
Sure. So first, I just want to hit on one thing that you mentioned. When I look in this room, I don't see competition. I see collaboration. You know, it really takes all of us to get the patient back to work or to get them to where they were pre-injury. And that is a collective job. I mean, I'm sitting here with Ari. We work together frequently. I can look out in this room and I see all the attorneys and we just work so well together. So I'm so grateful. And then, you know, listen, pain is a debilitating thing. I mean, look at the news, right? We have this guy who was in massive pain and he went out and he did something that nobody would even fathom. That's how pain gets you.
You're talking about in New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know the background on that, but yeah, no.
Yeah, very young guy. Well, you know,
it's an interesting thing that you mentioned, because everybody's at the forefront here. Okay, and when you get into the pain conversation, you don't really have to go too far in regard to how it can impact somebody or debilitate, okay?
Yeah.
As professionals in your industry, it's a fine line, especially when somebody's got chronic pain. Talk about the compassion, not only the professionalism within both of your organizations, but the knowledge and understanding that, in a sense, when you're dealing with somebody with chronic pain, it can be a loaded gun, okay?
Yeah.
Addiction, all those things. And the individuals in this room, including both of you, are cognizant of that with your patients, getting them better. And at the same time, it's a fine line in making sure that they have a quality of life for the long haul, even though they're in the middle of a very emotional situation. Talk about that.
So I want to pass that over to Ari, because I feel like, you know, listen, we treat the patient, but she's really at the forefront, you know, really, you're kind of like ground zero for those patients, you know?
Yeah. Talk about it.
So, you know, whenever we're talking to clients, unfortunately, since COVID, the clients don't always walk in through the door. So what I always say is that ask the right questions and they'll tell you everything you need to know. And what it's our job to understand is the severity and permanency of the injury and what could you do before that you cannot do now. Because pain in of itself can be very subjective. I stub my toe, you stub yours, you're dead on the floor. I'm teasing. I'm more dead.
You know he is.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's subjective, right?
Yeah, so, sure, absolutely.
So I feel like understanding the enjoyment of life, the loss of enjoyment of life, what could you do before that you can't do now? Your ADLs, your activities of daily living, your functionality.
Mm-hmm.
Simple example I always give. I'm from Georgia. I love my cast iron skillet. I love to make cornbread. Love it. I have to sit on the floor, my kitchen floor, to overhead press the cornbread skillet onto the counter. I cannot bend over and pick it up.
Oh, wow.
Because if I bend over that bad boy and pick it up, I'm going to be hurting for a couple days.
Wow.
I would argue that making cornbread is enjoyment of life.
Well, I'm eating it for sure. I was going to say, eating it, no argument there. You talk about culture, okay, and bringing that kind of the somebody who walks into a place, and we've heard the nightmares, and it's interesting because I come from the building trades, Philadelphia building trades area, and got a call a couple weeks ago. Somebody was injured on a job, and by the way, so they were getting beat up and messed up so bad, okay, and they were a long time working for a company for 30 years, but they were getting a runaround. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what is amazing is that when I sit here at this table, I'm talking to two people that are, you know, in the industry to take those issues away from somebody. But if he tried to handle this himself, okay, he's walking his own path and he realized, okay, when I think about the culture, okay, and welcoming somebody who's been beat up, okay, who literally has tried to do it themselves. How do you restore that? Because we're all used to our family doctors, but now all of a sudden, unless they meet an attorney who has that network, who can introduce them to Terry, and they get a medical network that cares about injured workers and injury victims, how do you get somebody's confidence back who's been trying to navigate either a personal injury or an injury at work on their own, and now they're afraid of their own shadow when it comes to medical?
Sure. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. And a lot of the injured workers, they feel they feel like they're betraying their employer if they get a lawyer. In most cases, I've seen that happen. I know
you've seen it happen. Exactly what happened to this guy. Exactly.
Yeah. And they will prolong it so much because they don't want to seem like they're doing anything against their employer. But it's actually your right to have an attorney. And again, I'll, you know, turn to Ari because that's her everyday life. But I've had a couple of patients where I'm like, listen, let me put you in touch with someone that can help you because you need more than what you can do for yourself.
Well, that's exactly what happened to this guy. He tried to navigate it. He's now, he's a month and a half in and still hasn't given an MRI.
Oh, that's scary.
And that's because he's given his employer every benefit.
Send him to her.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have that conversation.
So, you know, so I think that one thing that I want to touch on, because I think it's a really important point that you brought up, is that, you know, fear and not understanding the process, you know, fear of like getting an attorney or these kind of things. Whether it's workers' compensation claim or an auto claim, you pay into workers' comp whether you like it or not. You don't check a box saying, yeah, no, okay, maybe, right?
That's a great point.
You pay for it. Auto, you have to have auto insurance to drive your vehicle. At least, fingers crossed, I hope you have it, because if not, get it today, you'll be in trouble.
Sure.
No, I'm teasing. But regardless, you pay that faithfully. And so that's what it's there for.
And it's a shame because you have all these great commercials, but when the little guy, the regular Tom, Dick, Harry, and Mary go to use it, that's when there's a problem. Yeah. But thankfully, there's professionals like yourself. Before we go, first of all, I want to thank you both for being on the broadcast.
Of course.
Any shout outs during this holiday season, personally, you know, that you want to make before we rock and roll?
Oh, wow.
Come on, Terry.
How long you got?
I didn't want to text you this, but I wanted to give a shout out to a guy named Clancy with that pinstripe suit.
Oh, I think I know Clancy.
Who's that?
Like, who is that?
I don't know who that is.
Go ahead. I'll let you announce Clancy. if you will, Aria, any shout outs before we go?
So I just want to say to, you know, my attorney team and to the physicians that are willing and able to see our clients, thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you do. And to your point, Joe, is for the patient, it's really just about getting looked at. The best case scenario is that they get better and they go back to their activities of daily living and there's no, you know, permanent injury.
Yeah.
But you have one body.
Absolutely.
So they have to make sure that if they're not getting the care that they need, that they're willing to take that chance because you don't know what the future holds.
And thanks to representatives like yourself, there's an opportunity and a shot. Aria Noem. Terry Nakisha Hodge, thank you so much for being on the program.
Of course.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
We'll have more from the broadcast in just a minute.
Suffering a work injury can be a debilitating experience. Trying to navigate the workers' compensation system and process on your own can make it even worse. From the point of injury to the culmination of your claim and everything in between, workers' compensation attorney Caitlin Files has the grit, experience, and the track record to handle every facet of your workers' compensation matter to ensure that you get the representation and results you need in the face of a workers' compensation system that often treats injured workers like they don't matter. Representing clients from Philadelphia to Bucks County and all across Pennsylvania, if you get injured at work, call the law offices of Caitlin Files at 215-770-1250 or go to www.filesinjurylawyers.com and get the support, the representation, and the results you need to get you back on your feet again.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Files Law Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic broadcast. I'm ecstatic to bring into the program the attorneys from Friedman, Schumann, and laser. I'm going to introduce Megan Knoll. How are you, Megan?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
I could not be better. Melissa Paris Miller, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
And Katie Leck, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So, first off, and I'll go around the horn here. Megan, a little bit about yourself and what you do with the firm.
So I am a seventh-year attorney. I am an associate at Friedman Schumann. I primarily practice in the medical malpractice department, although I do some work with the commercial and personal injury litigation sector as well.
Fantastic. Melissa, if you will.
Sure. I'm a shareholder at the firm. I'm also co-chair of the medical malpractice department. Been an attorney for, oh gosh, over a decade.
No chance of that, but go ahead. You'll be getting carded to fight.
And I have the pleasure of working with these two every day.
So Katie, a little bit about yourself.
So I'm the newbie to the firm. I started back in February. I was doing transactional other work beforehand, and I'm also doing MedMal, so still learning the ropes, but I've got some great people to learn from.
Fantastic. And tell me, in your opinion, what the hell's wrong with the firm and what you would improve? I'm joking.
Oh, man.
We're just
juicy.
Kidding.
This is only a 10-minute show, is it?
We're just having a little fun. Okay, so ladies, so certainly when you talk about medical malpractice, very specialized area. In fact, so specialized that most firms that have it on their website are just referring it out, as we all know. It's a specialized area. Talk about what comprises a medical malpractice case. And I say that because don't you have to be certified? That the case has to be certified. What does that mean?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, Melissa, go ahead.
So essentially for our cases, we have to go through a pretty thorough review process before we can even say there's a case. That entails us requesting medical records and then most importantly having them reviewed by a medical expert in the same field as the potential defendant. So these are practicing physicians who take care of clients every day, and that's a requirement before we can move forward with filing any kind of lawsuit.
And what is is it a standard of care? What is the standard of care when you're talking about what has to happen in order to get a case certified? Something's got to be breached.
Sure. So the standard of care is what a similarly situated physician of the same specialty would do. That is the standard of care in medical malpractice. And to piggyback off of what Melissa was saying, oftentimes medical malpractice attorneys get a bad rap. Ambulance chaser is a term you hear constantly. And people accuse attorneys of bringing frivolous lawsuits, but in fact, the court system has provided that requirement of obtaining a medical certification, a certificate of merit, in order to prevent that. So if a case is filed, a physician has reviewed the relevant records and determined that a standard has been breached. So although we get a bad rap and we're called ambulance chasers, there's actually a built-in protective barrier.
Well, what's interesting about that is, having done these broadcasts, couldn't be. So the one thing the insurance industry has done real well is slandered regular people who get injured and due to the negligence of somebody else. Okay, when we talk about the contingency fee agreement, right? For example, what is that, Katie?
The contingency fee?
Yeah.
So that's basically how we bill, which is. It's not billing.
There's no out-of-pocket cost for the client, right?
Correct. So if we recover, we take a percentage of that recovery. So it's if the client wins, we win. If the client loses, we lose. I mean, we don't come back and hit the client with a bill, a month later if a case is lost and say, well, now you owe us.
And of course, there has never been a case lost at the firm. So we'll just, that's me talking. But I say that because it is, nothing could be further from the truth, okay? One of the things we talk about, especially when you talk about medical malpractice, right? It's easy for somebody to say ambulance chasers if it's not their loved one, okay?
Sure.
But change happens in the courtroom, right? So talk about that. In other words, in a sense, I got my knee surgically repaired a handful of years ago, and I remember when I was in the hospital, it must have been five different people came in my room and asked me the same questions. And it then dawned on me that there's a lot of moving parts there, okay? And accountability is the only way that that can happen, okay? Because, you know, talk about change happen. You know, obviously, you know, you've dealt with some catastrophic situations, but talk about change happening in the courtroom and, in a sense, you know, creating an outcome that, you know, is not only successful for your client, but so it doesn't happen to somebody else, if you will.
Yeah, so essentially, you know, with what we do, the healthcare providers are not policing themselves. That's why we need to file these cases and why public dockets are so essential, because when we file the complaint, which is the initial document, it outlines all of the issues of the case legally and factually. And so when we move forward with the case through discovery and learn additional information about the wrongs that were committed, sometimes in the end those cases are settled and there's confidentiality clauses, but sometimes those cases go to trial. And at our firm, we take cases all across the entire state of Pennsylvania. And so, you know, some jurisdictions are much more conservative than others.
Sure.
Megan and I just had a trial up in Carbon County and were successful there and won, which was the first verdict in the last 20 years
Sure.
for a plaintiff. But, you know, what our goal was obviously to get the story out there and not just have it available on a public docket, but actually telling the story in the courtroom.
So let's talk about the culture at the firm. What can clients expect, okay, when they retain, you know, an attorney, you know, from the firm, especially, you know, since it's, you know, you're talking about a situation where some, you know, somebody's either lost somebody badly or they're badly injured because of a situation, maybe a misdiagnosis that caused the death, which in some cases in your worlds, that client may or may not even be there when the case comes to fruition. But talk about what clients who are listening to this broadcast can expect, when, or potential clients, when they retain one of the three, is, you know, and the firm.
So what they can expect is five attorneys with decades and decades of experience in that medical malpractice realm. We collect the medical records and we develop timelines and chronologies. We're very much in touch with our client to develop that narrative of what happened to them. And namely, we care. So we pay very close attention to detail, close attention to what they have to say. We get the records. They're sent off to an expert that makes a determination as to whether or not there is a viable case. And they can expect a high quality of advocacy for the client. And that starts, I think, from the first time a client contacts the firm. It's not just in the courtroom. There's a number of months that will pass by that it, you know, a case is not filed, that they're just working closely with our firm and developing the case, putting our best foot forward in the sense of creating the strongest case, gathering evidence, gathering records, and creating the best scenario for them in the courtroom.
So let's do this. Here we are at this festive event. What brought everybody? This is a kind of a women empowerment event, okay, and a networking event. Talk about what brought everybody here. Besides the free food and beer. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Well, aside from those great things, we were actually all at a PAJ event, which is the Pennsylvania Association for Justice. Was it 2 weeks ago now, I believe? And it was out at Penn State. And it was a bunch of women attorneys in different practice areas. But we all met, we all connected, hit it off. And, you know, we said we need to step up and be there for each other and, you know, empower women. So we heard about this event. We met Katie. We think she's great. And we said, all right, let's do it.
So you just met Caitlin Files. By the way, ID in the show. You're listening to the Files Law Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. So you just met Caitlin recently. She's a heck of a networker. Right?
She certainly is.
She yep. is. But I mean,
yeah, she's a powerhouse for sure.
When you talk about the pathway to success, and by the way, it is awesome to have three women who are in the medical malpractice department at a law firm that are, you know, hitting it and getting it and setting the standards. But what does this kind of mean to you, this atmosphere and networking with, you know, other women that are successful and in a lot of ways are trailblazers in their fields and setting up that network, if you will?
I mean, I think it's just a great opportunity for us all to advocate for each other and, you know, try and refer cases if we think, you know, it might be going to the appropriate person, help each other out, just networking.
Yeah, and if you will.
Sure. So, you know, in a field that's traditionally very male-dominated, I think it's always refreshing to step into a deposition or a courtroom when opposing counsel or a judge or anyone really related to
I mean, I've heard the stories of, are you the court reporter and all that crap?
I think we've all had those war stories. Mm-hmm. So to be able to be surrounded by individuals who have sort of broken that glass ceiling, so to speak, and have been successful in their own right and have done it, you know, by and large, sometimes on their own without the support that otherwise other people would get. I think it's just refreshing to be in a situation or in a field that women can succeed and be successful and support one another in whatever way they can. If it means coming to these events, if it means referring cases, if it means being an ear to, listen and get feedback from on certain cases, it's great.
Any mentors, in regards, becoming a lawyer and breaking the old boys club, because obviously times are changing. Any mentors in your area, Megan?
Sure. So immediately when I joined the firm, and I don't want to sound corny, but Melissa, who's sitting right across from me, has been an unbelievable, remarkable role model. That whole thing, what would Jesus do? I say, what would Melissa do, frankly? because she has become such a powerhouse in her own right. She is always willing to listen and to provide feedback. And oftentimes you don't get that sometimes when you're a younger attorney. So she has really just broken down a lot of barriers for me personally, and I look up to her every day.
Melissa, pretty high praise.
I don't know if I deserve all that, but very, very kind words. I didn't really have any female trial lawyer mentors, and so I feel like what I can provide is that for others and hold the door open for people coming behind me. And I just...
Is there any more pressure being a woman and, in a sense, for, medical malpractice? First of all, there's not a lot of male attorneys doing medical malpractice. I get a kick out of it when I'll do a show and I'll look at somebody's website. We do a lot of legal radio, and I'll know right away that they're really not doing med mal. And the first thing I'll say when I get, they'll go, I guess don't ask me about med mal. I'll be like, we're talking med mal, right? You see the panic. My point is, you ladies are, this is, somewhat of a trailblazing type situation, but any added pressure as, somebody who is at the forefront of this industry, and in a lot of ways, setting the path for other women, to come behind you?
I think so. We have a responsibility for the next generation coming up. And when I'm in a deposition or a trial, the people I'm up against are double my age and usually men. And so I just think it's important, number one, to be a good attorney, but also Megan and I are moms. And so I think being a good role model for our children too, my daughters, I've been telling this story where they saw my husband in a suit and they said, oh, you dressed up like you're going to court. And my one daughter said, I thought only girls go to court. And that just meant everything for me. So it made it all worth it.
Well, what it does is, obviously times are changing. Okay. In other words, it's great when that's all they know, like is success. And there's that message of you can do and be anything you want. If you would, Katie, what's it like to be working with these fantastic women?
It's great. So as I mentioned in the beginning, I'm still newer. But I think one of the best things about the firm and the department and the great people I work under is I've had a lot of direction. Anytime I have a question, doors are open. They'll answer my calls. They're, always happy to go the extra mile to help me.
When did you start at the firm again?
February.
Okay, before you came to the firm. When did? Where were you before you came to the firm?
I was at a smaller firm in Berks County.
Okay, I was going to say pandemic-wise, okay, a lot of people were remote then. Okay, and didn't get the opportunity to utilize these resources. Certainly now having this opportunity, something that is, something that you can treasure because the resources are right in front of you. Before we go, first of all, paying it forward. Okay, you are paying it forward, Melissa, and educating and putting individuals who otherwise may not have this opportunity to have a mentor like yourself. If you will, Megan, would you know, talk about paying it forward to other women, like this young lady right here, Katie, who is literally the newer one on the team, but making sure she has the same experience that you had with Melissa.
Sure. So I think and I hate to put it on the person wanting the mentorship, but oftentimes if you are that person, if you're new to a law firm, if you're new to the practice of law, it's putting yourself out there and getting yourself involved in organizations like this. As uncomfortable as it is to be the only person in a room who doesn't know someone, reach out, talk to people, get involved in your local bar association. Our firm is in Montgomery County, so I'm pretty heavily involved in the Montgomery County Bar. There's women in the law groups that are very, very accessible. But if it wasn't for those types of avenues, I don't know that I'd be sitting here. So you really do have to put your best foot forward, to put yourself out there, and the mentors will come to you. People want to feel valued, and they want to feel accessible to others.
What's interesting, as we have this conversation, you all have such a welcoming and outgoing personality. And when we talk about the business of law, okay, it's a part of it. Your personality... Okay, and being able to welcome people and have that, you know, we could talk about a lot of things, but I don't know what it's like to be in your shoes when that family's coming in, okay? And to be, when it's a child or when it's somebody who is a misdiagnosis and that person's looking at you right in the, how do you ever learn that? I'll ask Melissa, how do you learn that skill?
I don't think you really can separate if you're gonna be the best trial lawyer for that family and the best advocate for that family. I take my cases and clients pretty much home with me. My family knows about the cases I'm working on, and I feel like, you know, with some of these situations, you have to just kind of wear your heart on your sleeve and fight like hell. So,
well, listen, I want to tell you, it's been great meeting you all. I want to thank you for being on the broadcast, and certainly keep doing what you are doing. I wish you a happy holiday season. I want to thank Megan Knoll, Melissa Paris Miller, and Katie Leck of Friedman and Schumann for being on the broadcast. Ladies, happy holidays. And a great new year.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Take care
as well.
All
thanks.
Right. We'll have more from the Files Law Hour in just a minute.
Suffering a work injury can be a debilitating experience. Trying to navigate the workers' compensation system and process on your own can make it even worse. From the point of injury to the culmination of your claim and everything in between, workers' compensation attorney Caitlin Files has the grit, experience, and the track record to handle every facet of your workers' compensation matter to ensure that you get the representation and results you need in the face of a workers' compensation system that often treats injured workers like they don't matter. Representing clients from Philadelphia to Bucks County and all across Pennsylvania, if you get injured at work, call the law offices of Caitlin Files at 215-770-1250 or go to www.filesinjurylawyers.com and get the support, the representation, and the results you need to get you back on your feet again.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Files Law Hour here on WWDP Talk 860. Fantastic broadcast. You talk about women's power and a network of powerful and successful women who not only do a great job in a courtroom, but they care about the community. This third segment, we have the opportunity to bring in some leaders in the community. First of all, this is a great place that we're in, and I'm going to bring Sean in.
Thank you.
And thank you for the hospitality, by the way.
Thanks for being here.
We're at Naked Brewing. If you will tell our listeners a little bit about a little bit about yourself, what you do here, and about the facility, the establishment.
Naked Brewing. So Naked Brewing has been around for, I think we're going on 15 years. I've been with Naked.
I love that.
I know. I've been with Naked for a little over 9 years, going on 10 years now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I've been an owner for 7, 8, about that. I bought in about a year after I started bartending with them. Just fell in love with the place. It was family owned and small, and craft beer at that time, small. It wasn't bells and whistles. Like, now everybody wants the aesthetic.
It's what's amazing, you know, it's, first of all, 15 years is awesome.
Thank
okay.
you.
I mean,
especially through COVID.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. What attracted you to the place? And when you became an owner, okay, was it what you expected?
No. Now
that we, you know, talk about that. Yeah, right. I was an owner in the business for 15 years, so I get it. But you know, it's
this is the first year that I've actually gotten a paycheck.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's an interesting point, because as a business owner, people don't realize who's the last to get paid.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, good business owners, I think. Right. Yeah, my thing is your employee gets paid first.
Sure.
And then you pay your rent, and then everybody else gets
oh,
paid.
Oh, yeah. No. And
down
and,
the line.
And it explains why you're so successful. Talk about the community. First of all, this place is awesome.
Thank you.
This is our third show, and it's just got a great vibe.
It's the best. Well,
Bristol, like, Naked coming here was great, but Bristol, the community really... We became more involved with the community, and I'm using Naked as a gateway for my involvement in the community. So,
just for people who just joined in, it's Naked Brewing.
It's just Naked Brewing.
I'm sorry. Yes. I always write, we're going to Naked. I'm like, huh?
Right.
Naked Brewing Company, yes.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But now we're here, and we're very involved, and we have cheese dogs in our kitchen, mm-hmm. and talking about being involved in the community, I... was involved with the business association for the first year, and it was right after COVID, and it didn't take off. We ended up dissolving it. But myself and other women that were involved with the business association, we started this street festival called Sunday Stroll, and it became very successful. I mean, it's very successful. We're in our second year of Sunday Stroll. We raised over $20,000 that we gave away on Monday to smaller nonprofits.
Awesome.
Amazing.
What does it mean to have a group, a network of women here,
it's
business
amazing.
Leaders?
It's you know, amazing.
And, yeah. and as one, as mm-hmm. you know, that is, you know, it's a great example of and I think in a lot of ways, first of all, business is hard across the board. But what does it mean to be a business leader in the community as a woman who can not only be successful, but also be a role model for other individuals, other women who want to be, you know, maybe in this business?
Oh, God.
What advice would you give them if a young woman?
Yeah, it's hard.
It is. It's you got to. I mean, you got to be
whatever work you think you're going to do times that times 10.
Exactly. And that, by the way, is an entire series, not
it
just
really
a show.
Is.
Let me bring in into the program our individual who is a part of Family Service Association of Bucks County. Anne Marie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I could not be better. We want to welcome you to the broadcast.
Thank you. Tell us
a little bit about yourself and mm-hmm. Family Service Association of Bucks County.
So Family Service is the largest social service nonprofit in Bucks County. We have a variety of services that we where we are able to meet our clients where they are. So children, adults, you know, individuals, seniors. We offer mental health treatment. We offer treatment for substance use disorders. We have a lot of case management for people that are, you know, just struggling through life and really just need that help, that extra help. But we also own and operate the only 24/7 emergency homeless shelter in Bucks County.
Well, Kai, what? How long have you been involved in the nonprofit sector and in this area?
So I grew up here. So I'm not going to say exactly how long that's been, but
you're sitting across from me. Trust me.
But I grew up in the area in Bucks County. But for a long time before I worked at Family Service, I worked at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And so that was my background. And my role kind of changed a little bit in the 14 years that I was at CHOP. And where I sort of ended my career there was in a lot of an advocacy type of role, really advocating for family-centered care across the organization and making sure that people understand that you're not just caring for the child, you're caring for the whole family. So it was a lot of communication trainings. It was a lot of meetings with teams to just make sure everybody was on the same page, thinking about the fact that, you know, We want to be there. We work there. We should want to be there. These families don't want to be there, right? They're there usually because it's the worst. Maybe they might be going through the worst time of their life with their child. So long story short, I ended up during COVID, I actually ended up finding, seeing a job at Family Service Association. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know this place existed. And it's around the corner from me. And it was doing a lot of what I love. It was, you know, really focusing on creating partnerships within the community. So I thought, hey, you know, I don't know if I have all the criteria that's needed, but let me see. And it ended up working out. So after years and years of commuting to CHOP, an hour to two each way from, you know, from Langhorne,
sure.
I finally was able to find some, you know, a job close to me. And in all honesty, it ended up being close to, it's something that already, you know, was very close to my heart, advocating for people that really do truly need the help in my own area. So.
And during this time of year, and I'll ask both of you, okay, what does this time of year mean to both of you? And also, you know, giving back to those who are not in a position, you know, emotionally even. I mean, we have all family members and, everybody has, but those people on the front lines. I mean, what does this time of year mean to you? And also talk about giving back.
Yeah, it's all about, well, to me, it's all about my family, my kids, my family that I made, my friend, family, all that. And this time of year is so hard for people. And we're, so much is given to, we do so much for people around the holidays, and that's a great thing. And I think it's important that we keep that going after the holidays.
Absolutely.
Like, this is great right now, and we're giving toys for tots and blah, 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 and whatever. That's great. But January and February, that's when it really hits, I think, for people. And that's when you have to speak up and you have to keep helping them. And not just the holidays, just keep it going.
Well said, Joy. Anne-Marie, holiday season, you know, talk about what it means to you and also to those that you work with.
Yeah. So, the holidays are you know, same as Sean said, you know, it's a wonderful time, but you also get to see people who are going through very difficult times. The fact that, I mean, you know, at any given time, we can have 90 people living in the homeless shelter and half of them are children right now.
That's horrible.
They're going to be there over the holiday. So we do something pretty, I don't know if it's unique necessarily, but it's a little tad bit different than some of the regular Toys for Tots and things like that. So we collect donations from the community, and any client of ours that is deemed eligible, which is most of our clients, but if they're connected to Family Service in some way, whether they're in the homeless shelter, whether their parent is a client of ours, they are eligible for what we call our holiday shop. So actually, that's why I was late today, because we're setting up the holiday shop. So prior to COVID, families used to be able to come in. We set it up to look almost like a Toys R Us in one of our large conference room in our office in Langhorne. And but now that they stopped families coming in because of COVID. So their case managers, their social workers, they do the shopping along with volunteers for the kids. So every child who's connected to Family Service is able to receive some, maybe their only gifts, or at least some additional than maybe what they would have been able to get. So we will end up having close to 500 children at the end of this.
How does somebody get in touch and contribute?
So they can reach out to me very easily. I don't know if we want to share.
Yeah. You're fine with the public having it. That's all.
So I am the community relations and development manager. So I work with our donors as well as our volunteers. So anybody who feels like there's something they can do that where they want to get involved, you know, give back, they're welcome to reach out to me. My email is arichards@fsabc.org, and I guess we can probably share that after, maybe.
Sure.
We
is
can
there a
share
website? That. Is it the website is fsc.org?
fsabc.org.
Got it.
And honestly, I got involved because I DM'd them on Instagram. That's how I got connected to Family
and
Services.
And Caitlin's been a perfect example of the partners that we are looking for. I mean, she wasn't, you know, a one and done, and it's always, it's at different levels and different ways, but we need, you know, every nonprofit needs support, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, being the largest social service agency in Bucks County, and a lot of people don't know we exist, we need to get that word out there.
And just to say, Joe, the reason I had both these women on here together, our annual fundraiser for Family Service Association, Naked Brewing, hosts every year for us. So Sean hosts the fundraiser that we put on to raise money for the homeless shelter every year.
That's fantastic. You know, you said it, Sean. In other words, here we are during this difficult time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a festive time, I'm sorry, but it's a difficult time, mm-hmm. that you know, for so many other people. When you talk about 500 children, mm-hmm. Literally speaking, you know, it's just unimaginable. But thanks to individuals like yourself, Anne-Marie, and the organization, Family Service Association of Bucks County, obviously we appreciate what you do. And Sean, continued success here at Naked Brewing. And certainly we appreciate, being able to do
the podcast. We love being here.
We do. We're going to have more, and thank you both. We're going to have more from the Files Law Hour in just a minute. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Suffering a work injury can be a debilitating experience. Trying to navigate the workers' compensation system and process on your own can make it even worse. From the point of injury to the culmination of your claim and everything in between, workers' compensation attorney Caitlin Files has the grit, experience, and the track record to handle every facet of your workers' compensation matter to ensure that you get the representation and results you need in the face of a workers' compensation system that often treats injured workers like they don't matter. Representing clients from Philadelphia to Bucks County and all across Pennsylvania, if you get injured at work, call the law offices of Caitlin Files at 215-770-1250 or go to www.filesinjurylawyers.com and get the support, the representation, and the results you need to get you back on your feet again.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Files Law Hour. First of all, Caitlin, an amazing group of women.
This is a cool event.
That conversation there, with Anne-Marie of the Family Services Association. I mean, we've had the attorneys from Friedman, Schumann, and Laser, and of course we've had Terry Nakisha Hodge and Aria Known on the broadcast. So it's been a fantastic, show, and of course Sean here at Naked Brewing, but that last segment particularly, and how could it not touch you? You think about those less fortunate. How about working at that facility? By the way, we have Karen O'Donnell, who will be coming up next on the broadcast. Thank God we don't have one, because it won't fit my head.
I love it.
So let's bring Karen in right now.
Yeah, well, just look at her. The Queen of Construction has arrived.
So Karen,
my new name.
What's that? The Queen of Construction? That's good. When you're an attorney, that's a good name.
Yes.
So Karen, first of all, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
If you will remind our listeners.
I was gonna say you're gonna introduce her, right?
She's like
it's Karen O'Donnell. Everyone knows who she is. We're moving on.
She's not a stranger to the Marcus, but remind our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Karen O'Donnell. I'm an attorney and partner at Stark & Stark in Bucks County and Philadelphia.
Okay, and we know this, and certainly you've represented a ton of injured workers and injury victims.
I was going to say, and a mentor of mine, but go ahead.
And having said that, this is it's a festive time of year, but for a lot of your clients, it's a difficult time of year. Okay, they're injured and they're going through it. Talk about what this time of year means to you, and also takes on a different meaning when you talk about your clients, because you're doing a lot of handholding.
Yeah, it's just different for the holiday season for anybody that's injured. Generally with my construction cases, they're catastrophically injured. And just to clarify, I do the personal injury side, the third party, and Caitlin does workers' comp. So,
which happens a lot in construction cases. Obviously, you've done a lot of, you've represented a lot of union workers that are catastrophically injured.
Definitely, and unfortunately.
Yeah, no question. And you're dealing with a very difficult type situation. What is it like around this time of year for those people?
You know, the holidays, as I was saying, just for anybody who's injured, but especially for those people, I mean, there's benefits that come with union work that they're just losing out on mm-hmm. to sustain their families. And anytime anyone's injured, you're just losing so much of what you used to have. And that's right. what we try to do to get them money to bring them back as close as possible to the life that they had. So mm-hmm. I think the holiday seasons just brings all that, you know, emotion forward because they can't go to parties
exactly.
or, you know, they can't be with the people they used to be with. Mm-hmm. Most of that is just because they don't have the means, they don't have transportation, they don't have the money. And emotionally they're just upset and they can't get there.
Exactly.
Well, talk about that part of it, the emotional part and how difficult it can be and how important it is not only to be a legal counselor, but also to be a personal counselor. And in a sense, a shoulder to lean on when they got nobody else. You're used to dealing with individuals that are breadwinners, okay? These are, you know, we've all, you know, nobody wants to be out of work, especially these individuals. How do you handle it? And by the way, how do you get through it in a sense?
I mean, the way I handle it is I just try to use the word hope a lot. So, you know, there's hope and faith in the legal system. You hope at some point that you'll be able to give someone the means that they can function better. The way I handle it, I mean, I have rough days. We all have rough days.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I have a sexual assault practice as well. And, you know, all cases are tough. And some days you just need to take a breath, right?
Well, it's interesting.
Some days you need to be here with
yes.
people and have such a great host such as Caitlin.
And what does it mean to be here with women who are professional leaders in their areas and you as one, being a leader, business leader. I know your mom is a strong woman and a great role model. What does it mean to be to see the landscape of individuals you have around you right now?
So for those that are on the radio, we're here with a bunch of power ladies for sure.
Sure.
We are.
Yeah, I mean, they're moving and shaking and, you know, creating new law and creating new business models.
Space owned by a power woman. Like, I love that the host, it's a female brewery owner. Like,
well, Karen was just about to pay you a compliment.
I was like, it's fine. Let's peg Sean.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't be here without you. I mean, just the creativity and bringing all these people. That's why I gave her the queen crown.
I'm currently wearing.
How about the that?
The queen of construction's crown.
We absolutely,
I'll take the crown of creativity.
Karen, as somebody who has, works at, Stark & Stark is a massive, major firm and massive, and you've worked your way to the top, and and you've had strong role models and mentors in your mother and other individuals. What do you feel about paying it forward? How important is that for somebody that a young woman who may have the same dreams and goals as you do?
Oh, I think we all have an obligation to do that, and that's kind of how Caitlin and I got together in the legal field. She had sent out a mailing, and I called her and I said, I support women. And I was like, we need to connect. And, you know,
you told me that.
It's my, one of my favorite stories. Yeah. I have favorite stories of mentors of mine, and Karen's is one of them. I was gushing about her at the PHA last week of how we met, because she truly was just, she didn't know me. It was a blind phone call. It was amazing.
That's fantastic. So
you have to try to give back and just create opportunities, whether mm-hmm. it's through learning or marketing opportunities. I mean, you could easily be on this show and not have all these women here.
Right.
Right? But you're opening the door for all these opportunities for these women.
So, and it's awesome. It's a great network of success as we, you know, and I have been fortunate because I know almost everybody here and everybody's been on a broadcast in one form or another. And so it's awesome to see.
Yeah.
Okay, the success and everybody doing so well. Karen, go ahead.
Wait,
I'm sorry.
I'm laughing because you keep bringing up my mom, and I just think back. So I'm a mature age, I'll say that. And my mom made me play baseball on a boys' team back in the day when there was not another single female playing baseball. And I remember, like, making the All-Stars, and the other side, like, chanting and yelling, like, just things about really? Me being a girl. But my mom was always like, you can do anything a boy can do. Like, she would put me That's in amazing. Races against the boys. Like, there could be a female race and a boys race, and she would pull me out and put me in the boys
really?
Race. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I thought you knew some of those that. Stories. Yeah. But
I didn't. That's awesome.
Mom, look at me now.
Yeah, so when you say she's a role model of mine, you know, in addition to my dad, too,
sure,
who was always like, you can do
it. How's our doing, by the way?
He's doing great.
Give him my best. Oh, and of the course. Whole family, of course.
Of course, but definitely a role model, for sure.
Listen,
she was ahead of her time.
Absolutely. And you're and here you are paying it forward.
You are,
and which is a large reason why we're here. Karen, contact information if anybody wants to get in touch with you at the firm.
Stark and Stark, and the number is 267-907-9613, and that's my direct number, Karen O'Donnell.
Fantastic.
She's a great closer to have at
she
the
is.
End. She literally came in, was like, let me hit the home run out of the park
any,
for y'all.
Any closing words, Caitlin?
I'm just so grateful to have all these women here. I didn't know any of these women 5 years ago. So it's amazing to be sitting here now surrounded by everyone, including Karen.
And I'm right with you there. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Fives Law Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. I want to thank our hostess with the mostest, Caitlin Files, of course, Karen O'Donnell, and all the women here at the broadcast, and of course everybody at Naked Brewing for being such great hosts. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, and happy holidays, everybody.